and our need for God. We can read in the scriptures the word of God for our times of worship and our times of life, that we would honor him. So here from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that in your nearness to us, you have brought us near to your Father in heaven. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for the power of your resurrection from the grave. And we thank you for your revealed word that gives us the promise and the hope of everlasting life. Lord, continue to encourage us and equip us through your word this day. Amen. As we observe Reformation Sunday this morning, as we talk about reform and studying scriptures regarding any necessary changes needed in the Christian church and maybe needed in our own lives, here are some quotes and possibly some humor to begin with. First, a quote from Leo Tolstoy. Everybody thinks of changing humanity, and nobody thinks of changing himself or herself. A traditional, oft-repeated quote is, some people will change when they see the light, others change only when they feel the heat. Some people don't want to accept their need for change. The story is told about a doctor who told a man to give up red meat, and so he stopped putting ketchup on his hamburgers. And then there's the one about a man named Randy. Randy was unsure about his choice of clothes for church, and so he sought some counsel from his wife. He asked, "Do you think I should change?" And she took advantage of the opportunity and replied, "It depends. Are you talking about your shirt or making a wholesale change as a human being?" Kind of a loaded question. I'm never going to ask my wife every Saturday night again about whether this goes or not. I actually ask her to put the outfit together, so I never have to ask her if I should change. Change. Reform. We like to think about that, don't we? Change and reform in our individual lives and reform within the church, within the Christian church, within St. John's Christian Church. Reformation Sunday is observed either on the day or the Sunday closest to October 31st. Reformation Sunday is significant because on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted those 95 theses on that church door in Wittenberg, the castle church, 95 questions or 95 propositions. And he posted them there because he wanted to debate with leaders of the church. He thought it was time to debate some of the things going on in the church. And that posting by Martin Luther sparked a reform movement known as the Protestant Reformation and eventually resulted in many separate denominations being formed. Martin Luther was a Catholic monk. Having studied the Bible and studied the teachings of Augustine, Martin Luther could no longer find peace within himself with all that was going on in the church. Luther had gradually come to understand that people are not saved by their good deeds, but by God's gracious love. And a central issue that Luther addressed in one of those 95 theses was the selling of indulgences, where the church had the practice that if you paid money to the church, you could gain your forgiveness. And not only could you gain your own forgiveness, you could give money to the church and have even the dead be forgiven. Luther struggled with that. The buying of forgiveness is not how it works according to the teachings of Scripture. Ulrich Zwingli, a Catholic priest, was another one of the reformers at the same time as Luther. And Zwingli believed that people were saved by grace through faith. Luther and Zwingli each knew the truth of Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's been said that Luther established the idea that the church is always in need of reform in the light of the gospel. Always in need of reform in light of the gospel, and that is important. In light of the gospel, that's a key and essential point. Church reform must be based upon the truth of the Bible. Church reform is not to be based on our thoughts and our opinions, our wishes, our desires, our preferences. The church is to be built and guided by God's revealed truth. Reformation Sunday is an appropriate time to emphasize the importance of God's Word, the importance of our commitment to God's Word. That it's not just the Word itself, but it's our reading of, it's our gaining knowledge of, it's our interaction with God's Word that is part of that commitment. And it's important for us to know that the Word of God is being properly preached and properly taught. At the heart of the Reformation is the biblical truth of justification by faith alone. Justification by faith alone. You cannot buy your place in heaven. You cannot buy forgiveness. It is by grace alone. Though human beings, though each one of us stand guilty and condemned, God offers acceptance as a free gift based on what Jesus did when he died on the cross for us. Believing in the importance of God's Word, we study God's Word in our commitment to know and live God's Word. As we look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, verses 1 through 10 speaks of the theme of redemption. Redemption from our sin. Redemption is the blessing of forgiveness made possible when Jesus bore our sin upon himself as he hung on the cross, offering his life, sacrificing himself, that our hearts can be cleansed, that we can be set free, we can be redeemed. And redemption results from a repentant heart. You cannot seek forgiveness unless you want to repent, unless you want to change, unless you want to reform. a repentant heart. Repentance means you're going to turn around, you're going to turn away from your sin and leave that in the past and live in the light of the gospel, changing for the better, to be brought, as Paul writes, from death in our sin to life in Jesus Christ. Life in Jesus Christ. Transgressions, as Paul writes in chapter 2, transgressions can be described as intentional sins. Now, I know that does not apply to anyone listening today. We would not intentionally sin, would we? Transgressions can be described as intentional sins. We transgress when we lose focus, when we forsake the Word of God. Samson in the Old Testament, Samson deliberately broke his Nazarite vow by touching a dead lion and allowing his hair to be cut. When we knowingly run a stop sign, when we knowingly tell a lie, when we knowingly withhold assistance from someone we know is in need, or when we blatantly disregard authority, we are transgressing. It's intentional. Paul writes then about the former ways of life, the time of a person's life they lived before they knew Jesus Christ as Lord. Then, when a person comes to know Christ as Lord, they are changed, they are redeemed, they are reformed through the grace and the mercy and the love of Christ. As Christians who believe in, who love and serve the Lord, we live in two worlds. We live in two worlds. One of those worlds is characterized by foolishness and darkness and despair and evil. That other world is filled with wisdom and belief and light and hope and goodness. And since we live in both of these worlds simultaneously, it leads to all kinds of problems that often have no easy answers. The Bible has much to say about that first world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." If you watch any TV shows or see any advertisements in the newspaper, magazines, on the screen, whatever, you obviously are aware of the enticements of the world. And because they're advertising it as good, it must be okay. It's kind of shocking in my young years of life to know what I could not see or hear come from a TV to what I can watch and see come from a TV today, or what pops up when you're doing something online. Just because it's in the world does not mean it's good, because the world is foolish and dark and filled with despair and evil. And as believers in Christ, we have to know the truth of the Scripture so we know what's of the world and we know what's of Christ. John 15, 19. "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." I used to be somewhat tentative about telling people I was a pastor because I didn't want to be hated. Now, I wasn't necessarily hated, but I could be made fun of. I could be looked down upon, or suddenly the room would all go quiet because what they were talking about or what they were saying was not appropriate for a pastor to hear or see. Well, if it's not appropriate when I'm present, it's not appropriate when I'm gone. But over the years of my adult maturity, from like 50 to 61, I am unashamedly a pastor, a believer of the gospel. And I'm okay. I like it when people come up to me and we have this conversation and we start to talk. Oh, I'm a pastor. What? And we start to change and see what's going on there. And it's led to some really good conversations over the years. Romans 12, 2 is a charge that many of us have heard before, but it's worth being reminded of. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The renewing of your mind. That's critical for us as we study Scripture. Summary of Ephesians chapter 2. Again, life from death in this world, death in this world to life in Christ. The Jews and the Gentiles in verses 11 through 22, they were separate. But through the teachings of Paul, the Gentiles have been brought near through the blood of Christ, and they have union with one another because it's the power of the gospel to unite people in the mercy of Christ. And the truth of Scripture for us to know and hold on to as we live in the world but not of the world, we live for Christ. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, I could talk about faith for a long time, but I read something new, a new description. Someone described faith as a trustful response that is itself evoked by the Holy Spirit. A trustful response that is in itself evoked by the Holy Spirit. When we have faith, we don't get to just sit back, but there is a response. And that is our worship. That is our obedience. And it's not what we have done, but it's the Holy Spirit entering into us that establishes faith in Christ. Now, I have also read, tell me if I'm right or wrong, that humans might have a tendency to not like to talk about change. Is that true? Do we readily change things in our lives? But Scripture tells us we need to renew our mind. We need to cut out in our life the things that are of the foolish world and replace them with things of the world of Christ. And Paul summarizes it in his one verse. We are God's workmanship. God has created us. Last few confirmation classes, I've been trying to help the confirmants understand what their gifts might be. Now, I don't know their gifts per se, but they struggle with knowing their gifts. And so we start with, you know, those that are athletic, they're good at sports, so their gift is athleticism. And then, you know, they had some other, but over the course of the year, I hope those confirmands will understand that the gifts they have are given by God because they're God's workmanship, and they'll know what their talents are. They'll know what their spiritual gifts are. We are all God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Remember that we are reborn in Jesus Christ, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And there is a plethora of good works out there that we can do, but we are to do the good works that God intends for us to do. The works have been prepared in advance for us. It's not just those good works that we might think of. It's those good works that we are praying about. It's those responses we have in faith that put us in situations where we can respond in good works. Prepared in advance for us to do. So faith, a trustful response that is itself evoked by the Holy Spirit. So I ask you to spend time today, this week, thinking about change and reform. In my life, I'm going to be asking God in prayer, in quietness, what reform do I have to go through in my heart and in my mind? What do I have to change about myself? And as a body of believers, if we're each going through that exercise and through that work and being honest before the Lord, that will prepare us to talk about reform in the church and ultimately will lead us to reform in the world. What is the reforming work that I need? Amen.
It is by grace you have been saved. It's not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. And so we lead thankful lives for that. And so we respond with our very lives and our gifts. With that being said, I invite the ushers forward to collect this morning's offering. Death, you overcame the grave by your glorious resurrection, and you opened the way to us to eternal life. And so now we thank you with our whole self, our love, our time, our dedication, and our gifts. Lord, we ask that these gifts may be used for your glory and your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isaiah 9 says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." Glorious day when the word comes to us, when that light comes to us, when Jesus comes to us. I invite you to join us in our closing song, Glorious Day.
when heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he.
And until that glorious day, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, as the power of the Holy Spirit gives you abundant hope. Amen.